It is 7:19 a.m. on a Sunday. Please forgive me in advance. I am battling sciatica pain, which is nerve pain in my back, specifically my L5-S1. If you have never experienced nerve pain in your back, I do not wish this upon you. I wouldn't wish death upon my enemies. I would wish them a long life of nerve pain. This is the most aggravating and annoying injury that I ever had to sustain after turning 40. And I'm 46 now. My Ruach makes me feel like I'm in my late 20s, early 30s, but my body keeps telling me, nah, fam, you are in your mid 40s, creeping up on 50s. You need to slow down. Man, this pain is excruciating. And so I've had problems sitting for long periods of time. Your prayers of healing is much appreciated. So I don't know how long this episode is going to be. But I wanted to get into an email that my brother sent. Not my real brother, but my spiritual brother sent about marriage, his wife, and baptism. So I'm going to bring this to the assembly because I think it's important and because I feel that one brother's problems or one sister's problem, bringing it to the assembly, I know a lot of people going through this and just not saying. But first, let me clue you in on what marriage truly is from a scene out of a movie that came out, I don't know, like late 90s. But this is basically marriage in a nutshell.
I am out here for you. You don't know what it's like to be me out here for you. It is an up at dawn, pride swallowing siege that I will never fully tell you about, okay? Just God, help me. Help me, Rod. Help me. Help you. Help me. Me help you.
That scene is from Jerry Maguire when Tom Cruise is pouring out his heart to his client, played by Cuba Gooding Jr., trying to get a new contract by the end of the NFL season. But that's what it feels like. That's what it truly feels like. Y'all have to understand what husbandry means. There's a reason why husbandry is mentioned in scripture. It's not called wifery. It's called husbandry for a reason. And this is the definition of husbandry. Husbandry is the careful management, cultivation, and breeding of plants and animals, encompassing agriculture, farming, and resource conservation, focusing on sustainability and productivity through methods like proper feeding, housing, and health management. It involves scientific control, waste reduction, ecological observation, and efficient resource use, water, power to raise livestock or crops, with modern applications in areas like reptile keeping and sustainable farming. That's what husbandry means. Now, you could take this right on into what marriage is. What do we do being the heads of the household? Do we not carefully manage and cultivate the environment? Do we not help breed our children, encompassing them with love, affection? Do we not pay bills, which is resource conservation? Focusing on sustainability and productivity through methods like scripture. Now, some of you are having an issue, like my brother here, and I'm going to go to the second part of his email. I'm going to attack the first part later. He says, when it comes to my wife, because of the difficulties we were having in our marriage, the only direction I had was to seek Yah in His word. The struggle is real, but I have also seen so much growth in my beloved wife as I continue to try to set a righteous example, something I have not always been. Do you have any advice on how to deal with a spouse that needs deliverance but is totally new to this idea and basically feels like it's unnecessary. Mind you, if you guys did not meet under the umbrella of Yah, you are going to have to deal with patience with your spouse. Patience. We are all being woken up at different times. We cannot rush the process. What you are supposed to do is cultivate in an environment where through your righteousness, you plant seeds all around either that house or your motives or your deeds. All of this is what you're supposed to be doing. Husbandry, you cultivating. If you woke up, it doesn't matter if you're a wife, a girlfriend, or a husband or a boyfriend, it does not matter. If you woken up first and you are accepted into the light and the covenant of the Most High Yahuwah, it is on you to cultivate an environment. So when you plant and water this seed, in due season, it will blossom. If this person is under your house, they are under your household for a reason. I know a lot of us get frustrated and want to give up and become impatient, but this is the point of Yah's doing. He doesn't make sure you get the glory by you being woken up and then you're like, oh, I'm going to teach my wife this. I'm going to teach my husband this. And they better start getting it or I'm going to give up. That's the point. It's not based on your strength. It's based on Yah's seasoning. It's up to him to season this seed. You cultivate it. But it's truly up to Yah to make sure it's blossoming. And he has a time period for all of that. Now, she might not think it's necessary, but it doesn't matter. You think that the time that Noah was building the ark for 125 years, that it didn't rain? That it didn't drizzle? That it didn't rain for 4 or 5 nights? That it did not lift the boat up when it rained? You think Noah didn't have to hear from his wife, his children, his children's wives? That I don't think this is necessary. It's never going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. I don't think it's necessary that we have to prepare for this. It seems like it's been, 70 years and nothing has happened. They didn't know how long till the boat was going to be lifted up. But Noah had to continue cultivating. He had to continue to preserve resources in order to prepare for that big day. That's what you are doing as a spouse or as a mate or as a significant other. You are cultivating. So when it starts to rain, they will see, this is why you prepared the way for me. Now I get it. Now I see it. And sometimes you got to allow them to see it first. You cannot just put it in front of their face and say, hey, this is what I'm on now. Get to it. It ain't going to work that way. Trust me, it's not. It's not. But you have strengths and weaknesses that you aren't using. If you have weaknesses in your relationship, it's because there's some things that you've learned along the way that you have not perfected. And the Most High is bringing them to you. Either it be being impatient, or maybe it's something that you're not fully doing as far as serving or cultivating your environment that'll help this seed blossom and grow. And there's many different things you could do. Many different things. But I'm going to go to Ezekiel 15, verses 1 through 8. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of Adam, what is the vine tree more than any tree or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burned? And this is like an extreme example. The Most High is saying that the children of Yasharel, or Yerushalayim, have become needless because they are not doing the work. I'm not saying you are needless. I'm not saying you are worthless. I'm not saying you're going to be thrown into the fire. I'm saying that there is work that needed to be done, statutes that need to be followed, commandments that need to be adhered to. You make sure that you are following and obeying all of these statutes and ordinances and commandments. Because if you're leading by a righteous example, you have to do more than that. If you are trying to convince your significant other that this is the proper way and that it is necessary for your survival in the end times. But it starts now when you're not getting tested. It starts now to lay the groundwork, resource management, if you will, either through offerings, oblations, feast days. If you are doing things to make it seem like this is necessary, then eventually over time, your significant other will be given examples in her own day-to-day life, her own day-to-day struggles, that what you're doing is necessary. Because it'll eventually show through joy. It'll eventually show through your moods. But if you're walking around the house upset because she's not getting it, or upset that he's not getting it, they are not going to be like, oh, this is a walk I need to be involved in. I don't feel this is necessary if it's making my partner feel this way. Therefore, thus says Adonai Yahuwah, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, and I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah when I set my face against them, and I will make the land desolate because they have committed a transgression, says Adonai Yahuwah. When you transgress against that Torah, when you are not doing the proper work, the Most High will eradicate you, throw you in the fire because you're not meet for any work. Anything you do with your hands, he will make sure it becomes desolate. If you turn your face against him, he will turn his face against you. If you walk two steps forward, he will walk five steps towards you. But it's all about work. Truly, it's all about work. Are you meet for the work? Are you meet for the work? Now, when I talk about what are the things that you could do, if you think your significant other is a valuable resource, how are you cultivating it? How are you providing for it? How are you sustaining it? What is your productivity like? Are you doing things that you haven't been doing in the marriage till you were woken up? Or are you continually doing the same things where she doesn't see any difference in you based on what you provided for her? It's different to say, okay, I'm following this new way, and this is how I feel. I'm living righteous. I'm cutting out certain things and da-da-da-da. But is it a drastic difference between how you first met when you was with her until now? The first part of his question, it says, I do have a question. While I have your attention, is it possible for you to dive deeper into baptism? Maybe the origins of the total submersion as adopted by many Christian doctrines, as opposed to the washing of the feet as provided as an example by Christ. I still have not baptized my daughter, and it is really wearing on me. I am so afraid of doing it the wrong way. This time of year has provided many challenges for me and the family, with job loss and deaths in the family piling up as I write this message. I'm truly sorry for your loss. But as far as your household, are you cultivating? Again, are you cultivating your seed? Me, I cultivated my seed before I even brought the idea of my daughter needing to be baptized or submersed in water. I introduced her to the word. I made sure she read. Her first growing up in this household, in this new way, it was a drastic change for her. Before, we were doing Thanksgiving, we were doing Christmases, going get the tree. She was at the age of where she could understand we were doing Christmas, we were doing Thanksgiving. She even went with me to a Christian church when I first started waking up. And I was like, oh, let me go back into the church. We were eating pepperoni pizza. We were eating pork. The drastic change came when I started making her read for herself and then making her do book reports on what she has read. I have her Bible lessons all together. It's like maybe 20, 50, maybe 50 pages more of just her. I tell her, give me 10 things that you've learned for reading the chapters of whatever book that she was reading. I'm going to take those lessons and I'm going to make a big painting out of them. I'm basically going to make a big board and then glue all her lessons together so she could read like what she's wrote about Yahuwah and about patience. And I would read them. This is how I introduced her to the new way. This is how I cultivated her. So when I introduced being baptized, she was okay for it. She was like, yeah, I'm ready to get baptized. So I did it in the backyard of my pool. I had a brother, an Israelite brother, come through, named Malachi. I had it on video. It was beautiful. As soon as she started getting baptized, the whole entire backyard lit up. Like the sun became brighter as soon as the ceremony began. Man, I had to leave after it was done and go into the prayer closet and start crying because that's how emotional I was. I felt like it was accepted. But I prepared the way for her to do that, not knowing if it was going to take or not. But if you love your children, if you love your wife, you know it takes time. You know your person. You know them. If they're one flesh and the person that you are rearing in your house comes from your flesh, you should know. The Ruach tells you, okay, it's time. Pretty soon, I'm going to have to baptize or submerge my wife. I'm preparing for that day, but I didn't force that upon her. I allow her to make that decision. Now, I don't think she would be ready to do it if I wasn't producing any fruits of the Spirit or fruits of the Ruach. Again, I'm building the environment around her to see that what submersion is and what following this way is, to make it meaningful and necessary for our survival as a family. One of the things you could do as a spouse who's waking up early is to simply wash your wife's feet. Has your woman come home from work and you take her shoes off and you bring out a basin of water and start washing her feet and recite scripture to her? And then don't expect nothing back. Trust me, that'll open their eyes. Do that. It don't have to be just a husband to a wife. It could be a wife to a husband. Trust me, if you are trying to get your significant other in this proper way to show them you are completely different from when you guys first met, do something like that. Do this based on the humility of Yahusha. Because that's the reason why Yahusha washed the feet of his disciples. It was to show servitude. It was to show that we are all one. We are all one body. We are all one assembly. We are all aiming for the same way, the same kingdom, that we are to serve one another. But he still says the servant is not greater than the master, but he was showing you through humility, being humble, serving others. If you go to Luke 7, and one of the Pharisees, I'm starting at verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yahusha sat to eat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Yahusha answering said unto him, Shimon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Rabbi, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Shimon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, You have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Shimon, See this woman, I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, Your sins are forgiven. And they that sat to eat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, the reason why this woman humbles herself, because she knows she felt guilty for her sins. If a man knows that he's more self-righteous, or if a woman feels she's more self-righteous, she is not going to bow because she doesn't feel like it's necessary. But the only way we can get this humility out of people is if we walk extremely close to Yahusha and have that type of patience, servitude, and humility that he showed with his disciples, and bring that into our walk. I truly believe that it would be the same type of example that you can experience in your own households. I truly do. It don't have to be when your partner's upset at you or when you are upset at your partner. It's just a humility thing. It's just a servitude thing. It's how you can show them how drastic you separated yourself from the old way. What did you do when you guys were arguing? Did you just shut yourself off and go to the next room and they go to the next room, or you go take a drive or do all that? In the middle of an argument, at the end of an argument, have you told your wife or your significant other to sit down after a misunderstanding and you just start washing their feet? Just imagine the look on their face when you start doing this. Just imagine. That will throw them completely off. They're going to say, well, this walk must be necessary because this is the drastic change that he has done for me. Sometimes you need that tiny example. But like I said, it's all on Yah, but it's also on you to provide the work. And that comes with a lot of swallowing of your pride and swallowing of your ego. Y'all keep forgetting that we are raised in this world longer than we were ever raised in Scripture. We found benefit in doing things our own way more than we found benefit doing it the way of Scripture. And some of us just don't learn the same way that others learn because our life experiences are completely different. You couldn't explain why you changed the way you changed and have somebody else hear and be like, okay, I got to change because this is what you went through, because they didn't go through what you went through. That is up to the Most High Yah to provide understanding, to provide the right time for them to see your growth. Y'all get frustrated at your partner for them not following the way you follow. I don't understand why. I learned at a very early stage in this walk that if it's meant to be, it'll be. I gave up control, and that's what it is. Some of you, it's a control thing. Because you are confusing your ruach with coming into this walk, and now that you're in this walk, that if your partner don't get it the way you're getting it, because they've been around you all this time, so it's really no excuse why they shouldn't be getting it, or no excuse why they shouldn't change, you get frustrated and be like, all right, I don't want to be in this relationship. It should never be that way. because you're going to do the same behaviors in the next relationship. You find somebody else new and they don't get it. Or you find somebody else that's in the, you feel that they're in the same walk as you. You feel like the grass is greener on this side. And then they could easily be like, you know what? I'm not about this walk anymore. So then you'll jump from that person to the next person. You're not cultivating. You're not doing anything. You're not providing the work. You're not doing any, you're not sustaining your environment and producing enough fruit for the righteousness for them to eat off, to bring them into the way and bring them into the path. Sometimes that's what the Most High wants for you, is to fix your impatience. It's not about them, it's about you. He woke you up first because it's you who has to change your ruach. It's you that has to change your ego and swallow your pride. This is the reason why he woke you up first. So you can deal as he had to deal with the nation of Yasharel. It should be so simple, the reason why he gives you certain partners. He wants you to experience what I went through. Not only what I went through with the Israelites, but what I went through with you. You think the Most High didn't have impatient times with you? Yet he was patient. How many times the Most High had to save you out of your own ignorance? Time and time again. It's just you don't see this man every day in your face saying, oh, you doing this again? Oh, you back to drinking. You back to clubbing. You back to jumping out this girl's bed. You back to going to this man's house. We just don't see that admonishment or that reproach every time we do something. But we feel it in our ruach that this isn't the proper way, that we really truly need to change. And you would feel it in your ruach, like, okay, I know if I go to this person's house one more time, the Most High is going to come down on me. Or if I go in this environment again, the Most High is going to come down on me. After a while, you start feeling that. But that's him providing chances for you to understand what his word is actually about, and caring enough for you for him to not to destroy you like he destroyed the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now the brother talked about baptizing, and I want to get into the origins of baptism. Like, really, it's supposed to be like it's a washing your sins away. It's for the Israelites and for people to have a statute to feel, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the reason why Yahusha felt he needed to be baptized by Yehuchanan. Because it was spoke about in Yeshayahu. So this is why he told him, like, suffer it and just do it. So we can be in accordance with Yah's pleasure and Yah's plan. But just like how in Genesis, when the Most High said in Genesis 6, verse 17, 18, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, what was the water used for? Is to wash away the wickedness and sin of this world. If you go to Revelation 21, 6, 7, and 8, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you can survive being washed, your sins being washed away, if you can overcome your sins being washed away, being dead to this world, you shall inherit all things. And this was the point of the baptism. Metanoia chapter 3, verse, I'll go 7 through 15. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto him, O offspring of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, the same, offering up your sins before washing them away. And not to think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And this is what I said in the previous episode about Noah, Daniel, and Job. That you cannot live off another man's righteousness. So this is what the Pharisees and Sadducees must have thought. That I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to repent sins because we have a righteous father in Abraham. That all I need to do is follow his way and not be baptized. And now also, the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Again, the symbology of not being useful for any work is hewn down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, the wheat and the tare. So I don't know where people get this. Jesus, you know, he loves us all. He gets us. This is the second time you've heard the parable of the wheat and the tare, or the wheat and the chaff being burned up. Then came Yahushua from Galilee to the Jordan unto Yehuchanan to be baptized of him. But Yehuchanan forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me. And Yahushua answering said unto him, suffer it be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And when Yahushua was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Ruach Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my Yakid, in whom I am well pleased. If you go to Leviticus and some of the ordinances and statutes that people don't want to follow, a lot of those 613 laws were based on being clean and washing yourself with water. Either you touch a dead animal, you touch a dead body, or any type of skin infection. They made it about water being used as a tool for cleanliness. So the reason why baptism, because it became a thing, is it's just a way, a statue for the Most High to show that you are being cleaned from your sins. That you accepted the way that you are dead to this world. You let the floodwaters cover you so you can inherit all things. So it is important for you to impress upon your child or impress upon your spouse that baptism, when you came into this truth, it is the proper way. You're letting go this old world. You're letting go the old way. You're cleansing yourself and repenting for past sins, generational sins, and sins that, you know, and you did in your ignorance. Now, you will eventually sin. It's just part of this life. We're part of this walk. You will stumble. It doesn't bring low the importance of the baptism, but you are choosing this proper way, and you're choosing to make sure you're not sinning the same way every single time. So if you're getting baptized and you think being an alcoholic is your problem, then you shouldn't be baptized if you know you're going to keep drinking after being baptized. The whole point of baptism is to relinquish the control of your vice over you. Now, it would be times you'd be like, okay, you'd be upset or you're angry, and through your frustration, you go to the bar and then you repent. It's like, all right, I shouldn't have been here. Okay. But if you're willingly like, okay, I got baptized, let me go drink till I'm drunk, and that Ruach is not in you, then you're abusing what the baptism is supposed to be like. I know people who keep getting baptized, you know, because they made it a thing. Like, oh, I reached this point in my life, let me get baptized. It's almost like renewing vows at this point. It's not looked at to be renewing vows. They didn't be baptized and be like, oh, let me go be baptized again now that I really want to follow the way. That is the difference. But to go back to the whole thing with the Pharisee's house, you could basically tie that in with a Christian house. Because they don't believe. They don't believe you have to do any work. They believe the work is already done. And this is Yahusha saying, this person knows that they are a sinner. They know they aren't righteous. This they do know. So you didn't anoint my feet. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't do this and do that for me because you feel like you don't need to. And that's what the Pharisee, which is where you first hear the instances of religion, they don't feel like they needed to do it. They feel like they were already righteous. That's the difference between people who are in religions and people who are not in religions. When you are not in a religion or you coming out of religion, then you truly think upon your sins. You truly do. When you have religion, you have excuses to why you don't need to fully commit. Because your religion, your doctrine that you follow has already been abused so much that it's became a tradition. And that's what baptism is in the Christian church. It's a tradition. When I was in the Christian church, I got baptized when I was like 9 or 10. I think I was a little bit older than that. But my brother and my sister, we all got baptized. We put on white. He asked us to accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and we were baptized. Nothing changed. It didn't stop me from trying to fill up on a girl in the back of the church. It didn't stop me from stealing money out of the collection plate. It didn't stop me from doing any of these things. So I didn't truly have the Ruach. And I thought this being a Christian was fine. Even into my adult years. And this is when I was still getting arrested. This is when I was still going out heavily. This is when I was still fornicating. And I was still doing prayers on Sunday before games. So I felt like my righteousness, this was just part of the religion, part of the doctrine. That, oh, he knows that. He knows my heart. I didn't know of any law, statutes, or commandments, no new moons, no nothing. As long as I wasn't hurting anybody, and I was still hurting people. My mind was so alienated from the Most High, I don't know why he even attempted to save me. And then when you come into this new way, you be like, oh, you truly humble yourself. You truly get on your knees and cry out. I've never got on my knees and cried out before when I was in religion. That is the difference of what Yahusha was demonstrating with this woman who knew she was a sinner. And the Pharisee is a sinner too, but he just didn't know it. Luke 5, verse 31, 32, and Yahusha answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. This goes back to other parts in scripture in Luke when Yahusha was 12 years old, or Yahusha was young. And he stayed back to start asking doctors questions and physicians questions. And you must have thought that the reason why he was asking how doctors dealt with their patients, it was almost like him understanding what he was to the nation of Yisrael and what he was to the people in Yerushalayim, that he was somewhat a physician, a doctor. He knew how to deal with those who were sick and need healing. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the reason why he went into that Pharisee's house and that Pharisee didn't humiliate or humble himself for Yahusha. Imagine you know this prophet, have already done miracles, risen up the dead, healed the sick, the palsy. And you bring them into your house and you feel no way whatsoever the pull of your Ruach to be humble against this man and to bow to this man. But a woman that comes from out of the street, knowing that she is a sinner, that is the call. He didn't yell out to her and be like, hey, come on in here and get saved or wash my feet. It was just her conviction of sins that made her do this. Now, when it comes to your significant other, you can't call onto them and say, you need to repent. Yah has to call. And if you read in Acts, when they think the Christians, where the church became a thing, which is not, it was the assembly, it didn't say that they would go to the assembly and make it themselves. If you read Acts very carefully, it says the Most High ended up calling these people to Peter or to Kepha. The Most High brought the people that he had already predetermined he was going to wake up to bring it to the assembly. He called them to come unto Kepha. Kepha didn't go out. He posted up at the temple and people came to him. It's the same way in this walk. Now, being in a household of people who are not truly where you are spiritually wise, it is going to be your toughest challenge. Because there's people that are complete strangers that will come up to you and say, hey, I'm with what you want. I'm with that. You caused me to get the seifer, da 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 da. Like, I've had strangers come up to me and say, even some of you, like, I love the way you do this, this, this. But it's going to be the people that's underneath you that aren't going to see it fully because they're too close to you. They deal with you every single day. Now, what you are doing every single day to prove to them that you know what you're talking about and know what you're doing, it comes out in what and how you react to them. If they aren't getting it, you get frustrated, it does not make them want to do it any faster. You throw your hands up when they don't get it right, it's not going to make them want to stay on the walk longer. My advice, truly, is to let Yah do his work and you worry about yourself. Let Yah do his work and you worry about yourself. Because it's something in your walk, I just know that it's not 100% right. And it's some things that he needs to bring out of you to conquer, to prepare you for when your spouse, your significant other wakes up, that you are ready to catch them. Because it will be stumbling blocks when they first understand that this is the walk they need to be on, a walk that is necessary. You will be needing to be their safety net, their comfort, and not be frustrated with them. You have to keep them in it. So this is right now, this is what he's preparing you for. Yeah, he's changing some soil around and he's waiting for a particular season, a particular rainfall to happen. But if he's preparing you now through frustration, so when it actually happens for them, you are already prepared. It's like, okay, I know what's going to happen. They're going to struggle like I struggled. They're going to hit a stumbling block, a snare here and there. This is how I provide for them. I'm not to equate them as livestock and animals, but it's the same thing. What will you do if you have to produce X amount of meat or X amount of this and then one of your cows gets sick? How do you prepare for that? You have to produce milk, but some of your cows or some of your livestock are barren right now. They're just not producing. What do you do then? Do you throw your hands up and get frustrated or you find a way? Do you change some things around? Do you provide better food? Better resources? That's what should go through your mind right now. It's like, okay, they're not there yet, but let me prepare myself for when they get there and they have snares and stumbling blocks that I'm able to catch them and provide them with answers. So what you should be doing is going into your prayer closet. Okay, the Most High, I know it's on your time. I know it's on your watch. When you would deal with my significant other, prepare me the way. Prepare me for when I'm ready to accept that they're ready to be on my same path. Prepare me for the troubles that I will foresee and understand for me to provide a better safety net when they fall. Luke 5, 36 to 39, and he spoke also a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new makes a rent and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. Now, he didn't say an old garment will rip and tear. He never says this. He says you cannot put a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new makes a rent and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old wineskins, else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins shall perish. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Then he follows it up with, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new, for he says the old is better. Some of you want to put new wine into old wineskins. Some of you get ready to give up on your relationships because you want to put new wine into old wineskins. And it's going to burst because where you are in your walk, it's not set up for you to start over with someone new. You must stay in the work that you are prepared to stay in. This is what he wants for you. You cannot put new garment upon an old. The person he woke you up with is the person you won't have to see to the end with. You might as well buckle in and get ready. He is not going to exchange somebody else out of there because they're not getting it. There is a reason why he wants you to struggle through this relationship when it comes to this awakening. You might as well get used to it. Now, there are some special cases, but again, it was all in his plan anyway, especially in my situation. I had to come to him and say, I will not have an unequally yoked house. But he already knew I was going to come to him and say that. I had to come to him and say that. He knew I was going to be on that path. He gave me the decision. This was a prophecy that a brother told me. Like I said, he deals with this completely different. He said, I'm going to allow you to choose, though, which way you will go. You have two women. I'm going to give you two women. You choose which way you go. Now, you can stay at the level that you're on, which was a very, you know, lukewarm level. Or you can take a chance. You could exalt yourself through understanding. Exalt yourself through my way. You can follow law, statutes, commandments. You can be meet for work. And I will provide someone where, you know, based on the work that you want, based on the understanding that you have, I will provide you with someone that's going to be where you're at, around the same vicinity of where you're at. And boom, this is how I got married. Now, is she where I am as far as understanding spiritual learning? No, but it's there. The seed is there. I'm just, what I'm doing, again, I keep saying the same word, but I am cultivating this environment. I am resource managing this environment, this household. I know it's not going to be 100% my way all the time. There are certain things in my ruach that I have to change. It's a way that I have to provide humility and service for this household for it to work. I wouldn't have had to need this skill in the previous relationship. So the Most High knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly. He knew I was going to come to him and say, I would not have an unequally yoked house. But in order for me to have an unequally yoked house, I'm going to have to deal with, at times, being unequally yoked. My wife, when we started talking, she was still in doing festivals and concerts, because that was her job, was concert planning. And I loathed, when I tell you loathed, I mean, it was a couple of times that I was going to give up on a relationship, but I knew I wasn't gonna give up on her. I was just trying to convince myself I was gonna give up on her if she didn't stop doing nightclubs and festivals, because I loathe them, because I know the environment. And I just didn't want her to do any unrighteous work. And we struggled. We struggled in the beginning of our relationship just based on that. We really did. You know, when the festivals would come up, it'd be times where she would go to work at 8 and don't come back to like 7 in the morning. And it would be a point where it was strife between our ruachs, because obviously if I'm preparing for these episodes and she's preparing to be in an environment where it's just music and people dancing, doing drugs, it's going to be some strife. It was to the point where she had to stay in hotels because she didn't want to keep driving all the way back home. And so that separation for 4 to 5 days and then coming back home and still being out of it, 7 to 14 days because obviously you're staying up all night. It ain't something you can just come back home and be like, okay, everything's cool. We go back to this walk. No, it took time. And we worked through that. But I knew this is what I wanted. I knew there was times that we struggled, we argued, and we fought over these things. But we kept Yah at the middle of our business. Yes, there were times that we threatened to leave and pack up and all that, but at the end of the day, we knew this is where we belonged. We belonged together and we worked at it. And now truly her growth is like night and day right now. Night and day. Being blessed with motherhood, being blessed to be married and all that, it's like night and day. So they have the ability to understand and get it, but it all still based on how you interact and how you react to when things aren't going well. That is what the work truly is. And that is the work that the Most High wants all of us who are provided a household or a mate. And even if you are single, I'm telling you, you better start preparing your ruach for this type of struggle right now, because this is what it is. He is not going to give, just because you pray for it, he is not going to give you someone who's already where you are in your walk. He may be giving you somebody who may be 10 steps behind, 2 steps behind, or even 20 steps behind, but it's based on what he sees he needs out of you for you to provide for this household, because your walk isn't in the place where he wants it to be. So you need examples. If you could get it without the example, you would need to get it. But we all need to be taught. We all have weaknesses in our ruach that we don't know until they're exposed. And this is what he wants for us. He wants us to have everything exposed so we truly know what it's like to be him dealing with Yah Sharel. That's why I keep using the symbology, or that's why he in scripture uses the symbology of him being the groom, Yahusha being the bridegroom, and Yah Sharel, the called out assembly, being the bride. So many times we played the whore, so many times we played the harlot, so many times we cheated. This is why he wanted us to understand this when it comes to a relationship. When it comes to being the head of the household, how are you going to deal when somebody backsteps on you? What are you going to do when somebody is lacking in their ruach? What are you going to do when someone is not following the proper way or find it necessary to follow this way? What do you do? Do you give up? Do you complain? Or do you provide a service of humility like Yahusha did, even when he knew his disciples didn't fully get it? He got frustrated. You could tell the frustration in his voice when he had to keep reiterating, or he had to define what he actually meant in these parables. And mind you, he knew that the disciples wasn't going to get it, and they were around him all the time. That's why he was more frustrated with them than he was with strangers that would come up to him off the street. Because he felt like, you with me. You are with the Lamb. You are with everlasting life. You are with the fountain of everlasting life. Why? Why do you not get it? We have to share then that experience. We need to share all of his walk. If we're going to be hated for his sake, we need to be persecuted for his sake. And we have to deal with those who are underneath us or close to us who don't truly get it yet, but we eventually will. Like, he was so patient with Kepha when Kepha couldn't get it, even when Kepha denied him 3 times. Yet, he called Kepha the rock. Yet, he knew there was something in Kepha that Kepha didn't know within himself. And he had to remove, and Yahusha removed himself in order for Kepha to get it. But Yahusha didn't damn Kepha for denying him. He didn't damn him for not trusting him when they were in the water. He just knew he had little faith, but that faith grew once Yahusha gave him his his path to grow. And that's what you have to do in your household, is giving or laying out a path for your children and for your significant other, your loved ones, to truly grow and blossom. And understand they may not be where you want them to be, but that is not on your behalf to force them to be. That is on the Most High, Yahuwah. I want to go back to the thing about water in the well and everlasting life. I read this scripture or this story before, but I just want to go back to it. In Yochanan chapter 4, verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahusha said unto her, give me to drink, for his Talmudim were gone away into the city to buy food. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Yehudi, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Yehudim have no dealings with the Samaritans. Yahusha answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of Elohim, who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Yaakov, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Yahusha answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Yahusha said unto her, go call your man and come hither. Now, why did Yahusha ask for her to go get her man? Why do you think? I mean, he could have just given her this everlasting water right on the spot. The woman answered, said, I have no man. And Yahusha said unto her, you have well said, I have no man. For you have five men, and he whom you have now is not your man. And that said you truly. So Yahusha is saying that I cannot give you this everlasting life because you are out of order. You are out of order. You are not in order. So how can you understand this everlasting life if you yourself keep replacing an old garment with a new garment? How you can understand this walk if you yourself cannot be in order underneath one man, one household? She goes on to say in verse 22 to 24, he goes on to say 22 through 24, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for Yeshua is of the Yehudim. But the hour comes now when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in Ruach and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Elohim is that Ruach, and they that worship him must worship him in Ruach and in truth. When you were baptized, or when the flood, let me go back to the floods. When the floods came and was washed over, yes, some souls survived. Noah and his children, his descendants, survived. But after being washed away, what happened to this world? What happened to the Nephilim? They became disembodied spirits. What happens when we are baptized? That means we are shedding the flesh of this world. We are dying to this world, and we become Ruach. In heaven, they talk about in Revelation, this water of life, this everlasting spring of life. Water, water, water being the tool for cleansing, stripping away. And the reason why Yahusha can give her this everlasting life, everlasting water on the spot, because she has not stripped herself away from her flesh. She is not in order. This is what you can take in your own personal life. Do not get baptized if you are not prepared to strip away your flesh and let that water to be a tool for cleansing, to put away the old way of yourself. Not to confuse this with the scripture I just read about when Yahushua said the old is better. He was referring to, I believe, that the path, the ancient path, which he came to solidify through his sacrifice and offering of his blood, to solidify that the old way is better, and no matter what you try to do, you cannot change the old way into something new. It's so much in that parable that could be equated with religion and thinking that you can combine new traditions, new doctrines into the old way and think it's to sustain you for everlasting life. And he's just saying it's not. When he said the old is better, the Most High said himself, search out the ancient paths and walk therein. But the Israelites did not want to walk therein. They keep trying to defile the holy bread of Yasharel and Yahuwah and defile it with the bread of other nations, combining doctrines. Most times they were sitting in captivity because they kept going up to the high hill, the same mountains underneath trees, and doing drink offerings, meat offerings, ascending smoke offerings, instead of to him, to other foreign gods. Those of us who understand religion now, we know that this is what we were doing. We were combining the practices of other nations and combining them into our worship and think the Most High was going to hear us. We do this with Thanksgiving. We do this at every Thanksgiving dinner. We used to give thanks to the Lord, thanks to God, thanks to Jesus on a non-biblical day. We did the same thing at Christmas dinners. We did the same thing at Easter. We were truly brainwashed growing up in this world. So truly, you cannot be altogether upset that your partner is not getting it. You cannot be, because this world was heavy. That sleep was heavy. The veil is heavy. It takes time for those to truly remove the mud from their eyes to truly see what this walk is. And it's also depending on how you walk as well. They are paying attention to you more than they're paying attention to anybody else on the street. If you're trying to introduce them to this walk, they're going to not pay attention to what you say. They're going to pay attention to what you do. So if you want to get into husbandry, you better start providing all of husbandry. Not just when you want to, but when you have to. Like I said, it starts with truly, you want to shock your wife? When she comes home, pull out the basin of water and start washing her feet. Start doing what Yahushua was doing. She blow up at you, sit her down and start washing her feet. I may use that one day. After she dropped this child, she get the yelling and the screaming. I may just walk away, go get a basin, put some soap and water on the thing and just start washing feet. Don't say nothing. And just watch the shock on her face. I would live for that day. I would live for that shock on her face, to tell you the truth. But that's what it takes for you to change your walk. And I told you about this before in previous episodes. I was petty. I was wrathful. If someone wronged me, especially it'd be in my relationships, I would get them back. I'm a tit for tat person. I got time. But eventually, through following the Ruach, the Most High was teaching me, like, instead of answering every threat with a threat or every slight of hurt or disrespect with more disrespect, do an act of service. And I'm on that path. Trust me, I'm on that path. It takes a lot for me to relinquish pride and ego and doing my old ways and handling beef or handling frustration. It takes a lot. So I started providing a service. I'm working my way to the washing of the feet. I provide a service when I'm upset or mad at her or whatever, that I try to force myself to change out of old ways. But this is the reason why the Most High has given me her. He didn't give me her for me to have an easier walk. He like, okay, this is the level that I need you at. This is the level my son is, but this is the level I need you at for you to fully understand and fully carve out and purge out the weaknesses that are in you. So when you are ready to be presented as a true offering, I have already purged you or tried you as gold is tried in the fire to be an acceptable offering to me, to be a sweet savor or sweet smelling savor when the time has come for you to relinquish your Ruach to me. This is what you are preparing yourself for. It has nothing to do with your significant other. It all has to do with you. Love.